the authority of the believer. It's a very, very powerful truth. And over the next, I suppose, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, we're going to learn a lot about our authority as Christians. But we're going to do it based on what the Word says, not what our religious understanding might tell us. The Word has a lot to say about this. And I think one of the great tragedies of the Church of Jesus Christ today, and I'm talking global because He's the head and we're the body, one of the great tragedies is a lack of understanding of who we are, what our authority is. So the Word is going to help us understand this authority that He's given to the church. And it's when we realize that it's been given already that we're going to operate in it. It's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we need to strive to achieve. We don't need to go through some, you know, process in our Christian walk and eventually we'll attain that sort of perfection where we operate in the authority He's given us. No. A brand new baby Christian can operate in the authority of God the moment they're saved. Amen. And I'm going to show you over the coming weeks just what that is and what that means. So firstly this morning, and by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, He's going to lead us very strategically in this series. Open with me at Matthew 28 to start with. Matthew 28. And I'm going to intentionally slow down, because I can talk pretty quick. I want to slow down and I want people to get to the Scripture. So Matthew 28, and we're going to be reading this morning firstly from Matthew 28 verse 18. And of course, Jesus has been raised from the dead and He's now giving a final command to His disciples before He goes back to the Father. And verse 18 of Matthew 28, if you're with me, says this. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, some power. Now, does your Bible say some? Does it say all, does it? I better throw my Bible out. Now, of course it does. All power. Now, if you want to translate the word all, it means all. Really, really, really deep. All means all. So all power. Listen to it. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, you're going to see how significant that is in a moment when He says heaven and earth. Hold on to that thought, because God showed me something when I was studying this yesterday. Well, He showed it to me. He may have showed it to you before, but I hadn't recognized it before. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, or look, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. That's why you'll often hear me say, we don't ask God to be with us when we travel. He's with us. We thank God that those ministering angels are encamped around us when we travel. We don't say, please be with us when we drive in our motor car to such and such a location. That's a wasted prayer. He says, I'll never leave you. Do what the Word says. Remember we heard, do it. This do. You know, teach them to do all that I've said. So we want to make sure that what we're declaring is Word-based, not our religious understanding. And He goes on to say this. Teach and deserve all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world. That word teach, it means to make disciples, to instruct, to explain, or to expound. You know, we feed the sheep, lead and feed. I say that often in this church, and that's the most important thing that we can do in a church is feed God's people the Word. There's nothing more important than that. So He says, I want you to do that. You need to feed the Word of God. He says, go, observe. That means to attend to carefully, to guard or to watch. Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. But He says, I have been given power. Now that word power, That word power is exousia, which means influence, authority, or jurisdiction. The Greek word exousia, that word power is exousia, which is jurisdiction, its influence, its authority. And probably the best rendering of that is, all authority has been given to me. I'm giving it to you. Now, the best example of that I could give, on the 29th of May, 1978, Paul Malik became a member of Victoria Police. I was sworn in as a young constable, 8.5 years of age, 1978. And when I was given that badge, I was given authority. What backs the authority is the power of the state. What backs the authority here is the power of God. Could understand that. I was given a badge. Now that badge, that tin badge doesn't mean much, but I can tell you right now, you put that badge up and it'll stop a 16-wheeler on the freeway. Why? Because of the authority it has and the power behind it. Day one, when I got that badge, I looked and think, what does that mean? I had no idea. Baby Christians don't have a lot of idea about the power and authority they have, but they've got to grow in the knowledge of it. Because we are dealing with forces of darkness that are unseen. Bible tells us all about that. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, you're a fool. Jesus did, and he dealt with him. Get the religion out. What does the word say? So for me, I was given authority. It was delegated. The badge of authority allowed me to do things. In fact, I want you to think about the power that was in that badge. That gave me power to take life and liberty. To whom much is given, much is required. That authority, life and liberty. So I want you to think about it. That's just natural authority. He says, all power, all authority has been given to me, you go. So he's now delegating that. He's delegating that authority to people, the church. He says, I want you to go. With all their faults and failings. He says, I want you to go and I want you to be my hands and feet. In fact, you're going to be my body. And that's what we often refer to the church as, the body of Christ. That's why Jesus is the head. He leads a body, but the body's doing the work. Amen? But when we start this journey, we've got to learn what that authority means. What does it mean to have a badge of authority? What does it mean to know that the state is backing that authority? In this case, the kingdom of heaven is backing the authority that he talks about. So they're two very important things. Now go forward to Mark, the end of Mark chapter 16. Because I'm coming to a point where we've got to ask this question, why are we given authority? What's the reason for that? And then we're going to unpack that. There's got to be a reason why he's given it to us. What does he need to? What do we need to be doing in this earth that it causes us to have power and authority? There's obviously a problem in the earth. And we're going to find out what that is. So if we look at Mark chapter 16, the last few verses of Mark, Jesus says these words. Mark 16, verse 15. Reading with me? Okay. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you've heard me say this many times. Let's translate that into something that makes sense in modern English. Go and sow seeds of my kingdom. Go tell people something good. Why is it that people come into churches and they hear doom and gloom? That's not good news. Good news is Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. There's never going to be another sacrifice. People want to come to the cross. I'm not. I'm going to the throne. You've come too late to come to the cross, people. We've gone way past the cross. He says, come boldly to my throne of grace right now. The cross was only for one. And it was Jesus. There was no room for man at the cross. We all talk about it. We all come to the cross. There was no room for man at the cross. There was only room for one at the cross, and that was the Lamb. Amen. That was slain from the foundation of the world. The sinless, spotless Son of God, the Lamb, was the only one that was at the cross, not us. But now, because of the cross, we've got an open invitation to the throne. What do you think's better, the cross or the throne? Remember the serpent on the pole, the bronze serpent? Well, Jesus was a type of that. You know why he was a type of it? Because he had to become sin. That's why when Moses created, you know, he made that bronze serpent, God said, stick it on a pole, and, you know, those venomous snakes, that's the end of them when they look on the pole. Well, it's the same principle. Jesus became sin on a pole. We look to him. So look what it says then. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So the only condition required for us to operate in that level of authority is believing. What do we believe? Do we believe what the word says? Or do we believe an opinion of men? Do we believe in a religious doctrine that, you know, it's all too late, God's not happy with us, God's going to get us for this? If God wanted to get us, he would have got us. He's not wanting to get us. He set us free. He set us free. Why? Because he wants the church to do better and greater works than he did. Now, when you read that in John, sometimes you want to scratch your head. I mean, how can you do that? How can you do that? What is greater? Well, you know, think about that. And you can make a note of your notes. You know, John 14 and verse 12. Think about this. Greater works than these shall you do. Well, what are the greater works? Preaching, teaching, and healing. They're the greater works. I want you to go out and I want you to preach, I want you to teach, and I want you to heal, because the healing's a calling card. Because when people realize that there's a God in heaven that wants them well, they're going to come. People flock to areas where there's a move of God regarding healing, because God wants his people well. Why would Jesus go to the cross and do all he did so we can be broken, downcast, busted, broke, and sick? That's religion. That's not what Jesus died for. He died that you'd be free. Amen. The thing that stops us walking in freedom is an enemy of Christ, and it's demonic. And that's why he's given the church authority to deal with that. And that's going to be our talking point in weeks to come. But we've got to understand the genesis around why we need the authority. So he says, if you believe, you can do these things. Well, that sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Cast out devils, speak with new tongues. Well, he didn't need to do that. Heal the sick. Do all those good things. Hallelujah. God wants his people well. Interesting, it starts with cast out devils. Why would he start with that? Why would he start with that? Because the problem in the earth is not people. We're going to have a look at that too. So often we see people as our enemy. Can I say this to you today? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, hear this and hear it really, really clearly. People aren't our enemy. The devil is. He's a puppet master. People aren't the enemy. Because the moment you see people as the enemy, you will now find ways to see them brought down. But he wants us to lift people up. He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to love and bless and do good and pray for those who work against us. It's not natural. Everything about the kingdom of God is not natural. So anything that the world promotes as their way of doing things, can I suggest to you, do the opposite. Because the kingdom is completely different to the world system. You know, you need to take revenge. You need to get your pound of flesh. Do you? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's what the Bible says. In other words, he's saying, leave it with me, I'll fix it. Are you willing to walk in love? You do. You watch what I do. You watch what doors I open if you allow me into your world to fix your problems. Or there's another option. Try and fix it yourself and see what happens. And then get stressed and get worried and get anxious and get sick. And he said, well, I didn't want you to do any of that because I told you to cast your cares to me. I didn't want you to be worried and fretful and anxious. I wanted you to be careful for nothing. But that takes faith, doesn't it? That takes trust in a living God. That takes believing in something that God has said. This is Christianity 101 for us this morning. Now, go to Luke 10. Luke 10, just a little bit further forward. And of course, in Luke 10, if you were to study it from the beginning, you had Jesus sending out 70 more disciples to do his work. Wonderful. And he empowered them to do it. Even before he went to the cross at Calvary, he was able to empower his disciples to do things in the earth that were supernatural in nature. What does it tell you about the power of God? My goodness. So then we get to verse 19. Look at this. Actually, I'll read from verse 17. So we've got Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Okay. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Well, that's interesting because it's the name above every name, is it not? The name of Jesus is the name. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no name greater than that name. Muhammad's not greater than the name of Jesus, people. Buddha's not greater than the name of Jesus. I'll tell you right now. It's why there's no multi-faith in Christianity. There is only one. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Now, that's not very inclusive, is it? Well, can I, you know, shake your thinking? Nor was Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the door of the sheep. If you come in another way, you're a thief and a robber. He's not inclusive. He's saying, I'm the way. Are you willing to trust me in it? Because if you come through me, you'll see the Father. Because the only way to my Father is me. Got to speak. We've got to preach like this. We can't have this sort of, you know, this sort of grey area of, well, maybe there's others, maybe, you know, there's a multi-faith approach. You know, there's many ways to God. No, there's not. There's not many ways to God. And the ones that believe there is are going to find out one day it's not right. Because his word said, I'm the way, John 14:6. I am the truth and I am the life. No one, that means no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you believe that, if we believe the word of God from heaven for man, then we would never, ever, ever query that truth. Amen? That's just an added extra. Now, he says this, verse 18, and he said to them, so they said, hey, we're joyous that devils are subject to us. And look at Jesus' response. He said, go boys, well done. No, he said this, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That word power, the first word there is exousia. Again, which is authority or influence or jurisdiction. So he says, I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That second word power is translated dunamis, which is ability. He says, I'm giving you authority to deal with the ability of the devil. I'm giving you authority to deal with the dunamis, his ability or lack of it. We have to understand that. And that includes miraculous power. So when we talk about God power, we're talking about dunamis power. The dunamis power of God in the Greek, that word power is dunamis. But the first word power is authority. So I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. So what he's saying is, hey, don't be rejoicing because those devils bow to you. You rejoice because by the grace of my Father, your name's written in heaven. By the grace of God, you have access to the kingdom of God. And that word subject means to subordinate, to obey or submit to one's control. So isn't it interesting? It says, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. They're subordinate to you. They're under your control. They're going to obey you. And why is that? Because of the authority that we've been given, the jurisdiction. Now, how many believe that this morning? I want to show of hands, but I want you to think about it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that they're subject to us? And if you do believe that, then we act like they are. Amen? So, a few questions we ought to ask here. So Jesus transferred all his authority to the church, his body. God himself is the power behind the authority, just like the state of Victoria was the power behind the badge of authority that was given to me to enforce the law, apply the rule of law in the state. So the power was the state and the authority was the badge. Badge meant nothing, but the power behind it meant something. So very important, but this is how the kingdom works. So to understand this transfer of authority, the fall of man must first be understood in Genesis. We can't go any further in this until we unpack Genesis. We've got to understand the Genesis behind the why. Why? Why is he giving us authority? Why do we need authority? What's the authority for? Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price. It all should be just Eden again, shouldn't it? But it's not. We know that because you study, just look at the world today. There's no Eden experience in the world, but there should be for the believer in the house of God and in their homes and, you know, in their sphere of influence. But the world's still a sick place. Now, there's a reason for that, and we'll have a look at it. So let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. Chapter 1. That's an easy book to find. First book of the Bible. Genesis. It's often referred to as a seed pod because so much comes out of Genesis and certain words and truths, they build throughout Scripture as a progressive revelation. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, if you're there. Genesis 1 and verse 26. So why is it important? Well, let's have a look at it. God said, let us. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we know there's a triune nature of God. There's a three-part being. There's God Father, God Son, and God the Spirit. When he spoke this, the Son was the Word, was he not? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, not a God, he is God. Jesus is God, all man, all God. So let us. So this is correctly translated and spoken in the original. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all where? All the earth. Keep that thought. Over all the earth. And every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. What are the next three words? Male and? Let's rest our case on that. That's it. That's the word. Stick with the book. It's the truth, not a truth, it's the truth. He says, I made a male and female, don't blur the lines. Because the Bible gives no ground on that whatsoever. People don't want to hear that. But you know what, we're here to preach the Word of God, aren't we? Amen. Not the opinions of people. So male and female, God knows what he's doing, people. Because if you look at the next verse, you need that combination to achieve what he's about to ask man to do. And look what he says. God, what? He blessed them. No, don't miss that. He blessed them. Oh, my goodness. You know, we could just sit there for a week and unpack that. What does it mean? God blessed them. You know, that's the first thing God speaks to his man and his woman, a blessing. Keep reading. God blessed them and God said. It appears that he blessed by saying. We bless by saying. We curse by saying. We have authority by speaking. Nothing's changed. He says to them, be fruitful. That's because there's a man and woman. multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he says, I want to come back there, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on where? The earth. The earth. Now, I'm making this point for a reason. Dominion. Adam was originally the prince of this world. He's the prince of this world. He was given dominion to rule, which is to rule, to reign, or to subjugate. And subjugate means to bring under control. So he's given dominion to rule, reign, and bring under control in the earth. Only. Now you're going to understand in a moment why what we've got is so significant. Didn't Jesus say, all power has been given to me in heaven and? Did he say heaven and? Yeah. And he says, you go? Does that mean that we've now got authority in heaven and earth? Yes. His is earth. Ours is much higher. Heaven and earth. Now, I'd never noticed that before. I'd never ever picked that up. But it stuck out to me very, very clearly that our authority is a superior authority. We have authority over two kingdom realms. The kingdom of God, we can operate in that authority and in the earth, as Adam did. His was earth. Ours is heaven and earth. So, just saying that again. He's the prince of this world. Dominion, he's now ruling, reigning, and he subjugates by bringing things under control. But of course, there was a problem, wasn't there? And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that, but I want to help you understand it from this perspective. You know, if you look at Genesis, and you're right there, Genesis 2 and verse 17. And it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he's talking to Adam, not Eve. Eve hasn't been created yet. You shall not eat of it, for the day that you shall eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now we know he's talking about spiritual death because Adam lived 930 years. But spiritual death is separation, disconnection from God. Not death as we know it, but separation. That's spiritual death. So think of it like this. There was a tenancy agreement with a condition. So God's given him the earth. There's a tenancy agreement between God and his man, but it had a condition attached to it. Now, of course, that was breached. Adam was evicted. And an illegal squatter took up residence. And who's that? Who's that? The devil, Satan. So he took up residence. Why? Because that blessing that we read about has now been handed over to this illegal alien. And you might be thinking, well, you know, yeah, that's true. I mean, but Jesus went to the cross and he's fixed all that up. Yes, he has, but not everything is complete yet. Because God gave Adam a lease on earth. He blew it in the first short while, but the lease hasn't expired. The lease hasn't expired. So there's still somebody operating in that realm illegally, and that's the devil. Now you understand why the world is doing what it's doing, why people are so perverse, why there's such wickedness, why there's such a hatred for God and his people, why they want to skew identity, why? Because this world system is governed by the demonic realm. But God owns the earth, and he owns a cattle on a thousand hill, and he owns a gold and a silver in every mine, does he not? And who now in the earth has dominion over it? Who has it? We do, the church. We've got the dominion. With all those things going on, yes, it's still happening, but we now have got the authority or the jurisdiction to bring that under control if we choose to believe it and act on it. So this is just a foundation I'm laying this morning. We've got to get this right. We have got to be the body of Christ in action, which means we're not running to God saying, can you get the monkey off my back? No, we're saying, get behind me, devil. Now, I'm going to qualify a few things in the coming weeks. That doesn't mean we just have a carte blanche license to go around and binding everything we see. That's just religious rubbish. Over your sphere of control, your life, those around you, and those that are willing to be free, absolutely. Somebody comes up here and has demonic activity, and I say to them, do you want to be free of that? And they say, no. I'll say, see you later. Walk away. They'll never be delivered. Never. And there are people that like the voices in their head. They don't want to lose the voices in their head. People like them sometimes. They want to keep it because it brings them some sort of comfort. But you can only deliver those outside of your sphere of influence and your families when they're willing to be set free. So don't go around and just, you know, carte blanche wanting to, you know, bind every devil. Because that's a bit wacky. The Spirit of God will show us. Because sometimes when people come up for prayer, you've got to understand, what is this? Is this a physical thing or is it a spiritual thing? Is there a spiritual element to why that person's got sickness in their body? If it is, you've got to deal with that first. Otherwise, they just stay sick. Not everyone's got a spirit behind a sickness, but some of it is. We know that from the Bible. You know, that woman that was bowed over in Luke 13, did she not have a spirit of infirmity? For how many years? I think it was 13. 13 years, I think. Spirit of infirmity, bound over, couldn't get up, just like this all the time. No one in the temple delivered her. But Jesus went in there and he was in the temple and he says, come here. Be loosed. He spoke to the spirit. Instantly healed. So there are times when we've got to discern, what are we dealing with? We don't want to play in this realm because the devil knows when you're playing. He knows it. When you have authority and you say, get off my kids, he'll get off. You tell him, you're not playing around in my camp. That's where your authority and jurisdiction is, particularly in your own, and you need to exercise it. And in a corporate setting in a church, we should be exercising our authority. Why? Because we're in unity and agreement. When the church is, you know, backbiting and fighting and carrying on and there's division and strife, there'll never be any power or authority. But when we are in unity and agreement, when we know that the God of this world that's created us and created us has given us, the church, authority over two realms, heaven and earth, I'm telling you, it'll change your life spiritually. Adam over the earth, the church over the heaven and the earth. Two realms. Very important. Very, very important. So, he bowed his knee to the devil who became the God of this world. Did he not? And of course, we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In fact, turn to it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So he's the God of this world. In fact, three times in the book of John, Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world. In John 12, John 14, and John 16. You know, the prince of this world has nothing in me. Three times he refers to him as the prince of this world. What's he talking about? The world system. You've heard me say this many times. So he is the little g God, little God over the world system of economics, over the, you know, the military system, over the religious system, over the education system, and over the economic system. That's his realm. We don't want to be in that realm. That's not where we're seated. And we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. And it's very important to understand where we've been seated, because we're seated with who? With him. You don't separate the head and the body. If the body, you know, is separate from the head, there's a problem. Well, if Jesus has been raised up and seated far above all principalities and powers and rulers and might, then the body has to be seated with him, does he not? Well, we're the body. We are not underlings. We are not subordinate. We aren't under the control of the prince of this world system. We are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler over all. And he's given us the dominion and the power and the authority. Now, you've got to shout amen on that, don't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. This is who we are. This is the authority we have. And this is only the beginning. My goodness, how much is God going to teach us? Because we are never to back away. We have the armor of God, and it's all forward-facing armor. There's no rear-facing armor because Christians never run. Like we heard last week, how do you slay a giant? You run toward it and you sling that stone in its face. You run toward it. Why? Because the God of heaven's armies is walking with you. He's fighting your battles for you. I'll say this once and I say it many times. We don't fight the devil. You might think, what? What do we fight? Who knows what we fight? We fight the good fight of faith. We don't fight the devil. No, in the Bible say fight the devil. He's already been defeated. He went a few rounds with Jesus and down he went. Thanks for the keys. See you later, sunshine. Up I'm going. And he's dazed in hell. What went on then? And I'm sure on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved, the devil was in, you know, a meltdown. Now there's 3,000 Jesuses I have to deal with, not just one. You think about it. He whipped him. We don't fight him. We fight the good fight of faith. And we'll talk about that over the coming weeks. Because you get outside of that fight of faith and you're in the flesh, people. You're in the flesh. The moment you get out of the Word and you start trying to fight that battle, you know, oh we, oh me, oh my, you know, what's going on? No, 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 stand your ground. You stand firm. When you've done all to stand, you keep standing. You don't withdraw. You don't draw back. You go forward. You press toward the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have dominion and we have authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world blinds the mind spiritually, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what he does is he prevents the gospel penetrating them because he puts blinders over them. He puts blinders over them. And if people try to live under the dictates of the old covenant law, they're also got blinders on them because the law blinds. Grace sets us free. When we understand that we've been redeemed by the grace of God, we've been liberated because of God's wonderful grace, the blinders fall away. And then we realize it's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Now, all this power went to the devil for a season. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that in Luke. Have a look at Luke. Go back to Luke. Luke chapter 4, very quickly. Ooh, time's flying. Luke chapter 4. Because, you know, when we study Luke chapter 4, this is where Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. So we don't ever doubt his reality because Jesus speaks about him. 40 days in the desert being tempted of the devil without eating food, you're going to get pretty hungry, and Jesus was pretty hungry. But he's being tempted of the devil. Now, he was led there by the Spirit. There are going to be seasons in your life where we come under some, you know, temptation. God doesn't tempt. The Bible says he tempts no man, he can't be tempted. But we're going to come under some tests and trials. But we've got dominion and authority. We have to understand that. And look at it. Verse 4, and the devil said to him, so this is Luke 4, verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus answered and saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Wow. If you haven't underlined that, you need to underline it, you need to asterisk it, you need to highlight it with multiple colours. Man lives by every word of God, not what governments say, not the opinions of universities, not the, you know, not grandma's opinion or dad's or the word. Not the pastor's opinion. Because if I'm not reading you the scripture, you're not getting the truth. What does the word say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil takes him up into a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, not God's kingdom, shows him kingdoms of the world, that base level, in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, now listen to this, this will show you why he had some authority. And this power, authority, will I give to you, and all the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will I give it. Well, that word delivered means surrendered or yielded up. Who delivered it to Satan? Adam. Adam bowed his knee. He delivered the blessing that God gave Adam was handed to the devil. Now the devil had authority. He had authority over the earth. And of course, if that hadn't have been a truth, it wouldn't have been a temptation. But the thing is, though, it was a truth, but of course, the authority was obtained fraudulently. It was a deception. He got it through illegal means. And that's why he's still operating in this earth today. And you might think, well, hang on, Jesus went to the cross and it's all fixed. Yes, it is, in terms of his authority over people who reject him and turn to Jesus. Because three things entered the earth because of Adam's fall. Three specific things that make up the curse. One is spiritual death, separation from God. So you've heard me say it. Every person born of a woman from Adam has the same sin stain. You can't avoid it. Every child born to this earth, there are precious children down the back here now that one day will give their hearts to Jesus, but they're born with a sin stain because of Adam. And it's only when we say yes to Jesus that the sin stain's removed. Nothing else removes a sin stain. Not being good, not doing church things, not attending a Sunday service, but acknowledging that you can't have eternal life without Jesus. You can't ever stand in the presence of a holy, righteous, pure God when you're spotted with sin. That's why God can't receive the sinner. Not that he doesn't love man, for God so loved the world he gave his son. Amen? It's the sin spot that's the problem. And the only way we can remove the sin is the blood of Jesus that we talk about. Oh, hallelujah. So, he said it. All this power, this authority was given to me. Yep, through deception. It was fraudulently given to him, and he's still exercising that today. Today. The curse is still in the earth, not on the church. We've been redeemed from the curse, have we not? Paul said that in Galatians. The Apostle Paul, in those amazing truths in the book of Galatians, said, you know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham should come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Are we the blessing of Abraham?
Yes.
Are we free from the curse? Do we have dominion and authority?
Yes.
Yes, yes, and yes. Now we're starting to get the picture. And this is only just a foundation. Just laying a foundation. All right. Almost done this morning. Yeah, it goes quick. All right. Colossians. Go to Colossians. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. The letters of Paul. Hallelujah. I'll read this when you get there. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read from verse 9. So Paul's praying a prayer. It's a prayer he's praying. And it's a prayer that's, you know, going to help us understand a few things. So reading from verse 9 of Colossians when you're there. And it says this. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a powerful prayer to pray for someone. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, how do you please God? By faith. It's the only way you can please God. Flesh can't please God, never has, never will. Only faith can please God. He's a spirit. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. And of course it says, all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to increase in our knowledge of God continually. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks to the Father which has made us meet, the King James says, or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We can partake in God's inheritance. Amen? We have an inheritance. And we need to walk in it. Now look at verse 13. Who has, this is past tense, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. That word delivered means rescued. We have been rescued from the power of darkness and has translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we've been rescued from the power of darkness. That's the prince of the power of the air. That's the prince of this world, the wicked one that's in, you know, those that are wicked and disobedient today. We've been delivered from that. We've been rescued from that, but we've been transferred, like a conveyor, but we've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in the world, but not of the world. That's what that means. We've been transferred into his kingdom. Now, are we spiritually in heaven? No, but that's where we are spiritually seated. We're not there physically, but spiritually we're in heaven. That's where our spirit's been transferred, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that next week, where we're seated. Because if we're going to understand the authority of the believer, you've got to understand where you're seated right now today. You're not in this earth realm. Don't get too comfortable in this realm. It's all going to disappear. Don't get too comfortable. Don't be thinking about how I can, you know, sort this life out now. It's already been sorted. We are going to be crossing over one day into that realm for eternity. But in the meantime, we're about the Father's business. We're the body of Christ. We're the hands and feet. And remember, he's got to put everything under his feet, does he not? And the last enemy is death. Well, where are the feet attached? The body. Feet attached to the body, not the head. Look pretty funny if his feet coming out his head. But the feet are attached to the body, so he's got to put all the enemies of him under his feet. We're the body of Christ. They're going to be under our feet, people, because we're the ones that are going to exercise the authority that he's given the church to absolutely bring this thing to a close. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So, almost done. Ooh, almost done. And of course, yeah, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, verse 13, and has translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. Isn't that beautiful? In whom we have redemption. We've got redemption. That means that the ransom has been paid for through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. People, if you get nothing else this morning, get this, your sins are forgiven. If you've made Jesus Christ Lord, they're what? Don't ever go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. Don't go fishing there because all you're going to bring up is a dead past. You don't want to fish where it's dead. You want to fish where it's alive. Fish in the Word. This is living. My Word is spirit and it's life. That's where you want to do your fishing, not in your dead past, because all the devil's going to do is remind you how bad you are. But guess what? God doesn't see bad, he sees good. God doesn't see broken, he sees completely restored. He doesn't see spot, he sees cleansed. That's what God sees in us. But if you're listening to the enemy, he's not going to be telling you any of that. He wants to remind you how broken you are, how no good you are. You're a fail. We're not failures. We're overcomers in Christ Jesus, amen? And we will continue to be overcomers as long as we are willing to walk in this truth of God's word. That's the authority that we have. And we haven't even started. We have the authority in two realms, heaven and earth. Adam, earth. Us, heaven and earth. Why? Because this has been given to us by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now we are priests and kings unto him. Amen? In this earth today. That's the authority that we have, and this is what we're going to now work off in the coming weeks to understand how to operate in this authority and how to stand against the enemy of Christ. Amen? Let's pray.